This case will be taken under advisement. Move to the second case of the morning. Well, the second case was actually vacated. The third case is Paula Blease versus John Antimarian. Mr. Nunnery.
Good morning. May it please the court. First, I believe that I want to turn the court's attention to the decision and order, and specifically page 34. When Judge Clavert indicates presumably the injury that Blease claims is based on her conclusion that she did not obtain the position as operations coordinator solely because of expanded certification. I want to start off by saying that is not the Blease case. The judge goes on further, these allegations at the end, in light of evidence that the defendant have an official policy through which they attempt to increase the diversity of the city workforce by including more women and racial minorities in job interviews for various positions than might otherwise be the case, simply do not suffice. It is well known in the Seventh Circuit with cases from the Supreme Court that this justification of diversity based upon statistics has been moved away from. And what the city of Kenosha is asking this court now is to ratify their expanded certification policy, which was adopted in 1983, to increase the number of names certified by the city's Department for Job Vacancies.
But Mr. Nunnery, I mean, what difference does any of this make to Ms. Blease's case? Her case isn't based on the fact that Davis was hired. Her case is based on the fact that she was not. And if Davis had never been added to that list of people who went into the final interviews, Blease would still not have gotten the job, even with the two people who dropped out. Another person ahead of her.
And it makes a big difference.
I don't see how.
In terms of the prima facie case, the prima facie case under McDonald is to test this employee against whether she suffered adversity against the one who got the job.
But a different person, a man who was not a racial minority, as far as I can tell from the record, would have gotten the job. I see absolutely no way in which this policy could have mattered to her.
And, well, if I may continue, there is a three-pronged attack that the plaintiff has in this case. First, she believes that she should have gone to the jury because she has a prima facie case.
But that's not enough to get to the jury, obviously. You have to have
I would agree that is not enough to get to the jury. And I want to highlight this point. This court has articulated VITUG as a standard on these review panels. And what the plaintiff objected to and objected strenuously to in the brief, the black woman ranked number one after the first panel. We agree with the court that ranking number one after the panel in and of itself was not enough. When you go to the second phase of this process, as in VITUG, there were a three-member panel evaluating the candidates. There were preset standards and components as to how points should be allocated. If one looks into this record, specifically R23, Streeter's Exhibits 21 onward, what you see is that there was no allocation system by Arnold and the mayor.
But why is it unlawful under either Title VII or 1981 to have a subjective selection policy? That's not what VITUG holds. No court, certainly not the Supreme Court, not this court, has ever said that you can't have subjective evaluations. Indeed, we've said to the contrary, that these are not rendered unlawful.
I agree that there cannot be exclusively subjective criteria, but in the case here of...
Well, I didn't say that there couldn't be. I mean, I said there can be.
But here on the Blas, what happened is VITUG definitely stands for the proposition that that oral interview itself should be uniformed.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there was
it was uniform in VITUG.
That's the point. I mean, it was, and so the court says,
and it was not uniformed here
in
Blas.
But nobody, no. Nobody says you have to behave like a robot in these oral interviews. People say different things. You respond in different ways. Maybe you look at their background. There's nothing racially or otherwise discriminatory about somewhat different questions in oral interviews.
So, and I guess I want to, because I'm troubled by the same thing, how does that relate to, is that the only proof you have? Is that what you're relying on, that she would have been offered the job even though there was this third qualified candidate that was ahead of her? Is that what that you've articulated to Judge Wood, the oral interview and the fact that it was not standard, that questions weren't standard, is that the proof that you're relying on?
And you're saying that would have,
had that been different, it would have put her in a different lineup?
It may have put her in a different lineup, but the point that I'm also relying upon is Aura 23, Schrader Exhibit 22. She never would have gotten into the mix but for expanded certification.
She meaning Davis?
Davis.
But why do we worry about Davis if
she got the job?
This other person who would have gotten the job in any event, even if Davis hadn't been there?
That is one component of it, Yana.
Well, I still don't understand your explanation for this, though.
And that's what's hanging me up, too. You still, okay, so Davis, if Davis shouldn't have gotten it, you still have to deal with the man who was next in the ranking.
And there was some evidence in this record that one of the men in the ranking...
No, I'm talking specifically about the one who was the third qualified. You know, the one who was ahead of her on the list.
Yes.
So there were two people that declined. Then it got to Davis. Then there was this man.
Yes.
And my reading of the record is the same as Judge Wood's. He's a Caucasian man. You still have to deal with him.
Yes.
Okay, so what's your... How would Blige have been hired over him? What's your proof that there was...
First of all, and obviously the court, from what I gather here now, disagreed that the way she was treated in the expanded certification has nothing to do with this. Secondly, the only argument that I can make is that the whole process after the initial panel in and of itself was flawed. And what the evidence show that Blas was not asked the same questions as the other candidates in the oral interview with Arnold and the mayor.
Let me talk about the city's expanded certification policy. How is that unconstitutional, where the city's policy only allows city officials to consider and interview a broader pool of qualified applicants, but the expanded certification doesn't in any way dictate who receives the position? Why that's unconstitutional.
Because it put Blas in a competitive situation that she otherwise would not have been in. And it pitted her against a white woman, whereas she otherwise would not have been in.
But, you know, Mr. Nunnery, this really reminds me of the old, you know, saying, you know, be careful what you wish for, you might get it. Had the facts been different, had the top five been all Caucasian, and because of the expanded certification, Ms. Blize was the one brought into the pool and given the opportunity to make her case before the hiring people. As Judge Williams said, win or lose on the merits at that point, then you would be saying something quite different. And I would suspect, as a rule, a policy like Kenosha's that expands the pool probably systematically helps minorities and women. Now, maybe in Ms. Blize's case, it happened to be that she lost out to the new person who was brought into the pool. But as a broad matter, if municipalities want to interview a greater number of people to see who really, apart from a paper record, ought to get the job, I have a great deal of trouble seeing how that suggests reverse discrimination, direct discrimination, or any other kind of discrimination.
And Your Honor, what I'm saying here, particularly in R-28 and the proposed findings of fact, it clearly suggests that this whole process was flawed, as I suggest in the facts. Ms. Davis was so intimately involved with the mayor and Antaramian even before this process started. Proposed findings of fact 337 through 321. And if one looks at simply the scoring by Arnold and the scoring by the mayor, they had no preset conditions. They said, I'm going to give her 80, I'm going to give him 90. And maybe she was discriminated with respect to the men. But is this court going to allow this kind of arbitrary willy-nilly to go on behind closed doors without having any kind of objective evaluation of it? To simply suggest on this record the white male may have gotten it, the entire process appeared flawed. And when the entire process appeared flawed, it also suggests that it's a credibility issue. And if it's a credibility issue, it should be decided by the jury. This is a summary judgment at this stage. Did this favoritism, did this these interconnects and relationships obstruct or cause Ms. Blize to suffer? Because minorities may suffer because of this policy is one thing. But if a municipality or state action is to hide behind this to justify a white female versus a black female, as they indicated in this record, that too has to be analyzed under the scrutiny of a jury. They misled when they talked about the classification of the individual categories. They are talking, and the other thing, 14 out of their 31 individuals in the past who finished number one got the job. And it just appears to say, well, she wouldn't have gotten a job anyway. That's a credibility issue. And for summary judgment purposes, we believe she should have gotten to the jury. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Nunnery. Mr. Gunt?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Gunta?
Gunta's fine, thank you. May it please the court, Mr. Nunnery. Judge Clavert was right on when he assessed that Ms. Blice really didn't have a scintilla of evidence that there was intentional discrimination in this case. Ms. Blice has attacked the expanded certification policy of the city of Kenosha repeatedly, even though she herself was the benefit of that policy in the position she received, the zoning coordinator, as well as in a previous position that she held with the city of Kenosha.
How is that? You mean it was the same process that selection?
She was expandedly certified into zoning coordinator's position. But that all is a smokescreen. The certification policy really has very little to do with what happened to Paula Blice in this particular case. The civil service rules of the city of Kenosha say that the final decision makers, in this case the mayor and Mr. Arnold, the administrator, should have five names to select from when they make their final appointing decision.
Could I ask you a question about that just briefly?
Certainly.
All right. In this instance, a couple of people drop out, right? Once they've dropped out, do you just deal with the shrinking list? You know, let's suppose... I guess did they both drop out after the five, or you just had a list of six?
I can explain that for you.
But anyway, do you replenish the list of five? Do you keep kind of trying to move it back up to five, or do you just let it kind of go down to one, and then if they all say no, then you start over again?
The simple answer to that is we try to have a list of five. What happened in this particular case was the oral panel interviewed, that's an outside group of people from the community, teachers, business people, et cetera, they interviewed 12. That interview winnowed down the number to nine that passed. Nine people got 70 or higher. Of that nine, Jan Davis was sixth ranked. When Mr. Ingrelli dropped out, Jan Davis, regardless of expanded certification, would have gone into the final pool.
So Mr. Ingrelli dropped out before the mayor and that committee began their interviews?
Actually, no. What happened with Mr. Ingrelli, he actually went through the entire interview process. At the very end of the interview, he got up and said, I'm really not concerned or interested in this job anymore. And that's
so
correct.
At that moment, they would have gone... To keep the number up to five, they would have gone to the number six slotted person.
Absolutely. Randall Kirkman scored an 89. He scored first. He turned the job down. He considered it for 2 days. He was offered the job, and he turned it down. Jan Davis was next on the list at 82.5. Your Honor, you were asking about the other person that was involved. That was the white male. That was Chuck Stokowski. Excuse me. He had an 81. Paula Blyce had a 79, and then there was someone beneath Paula Blyce who had a 77.5 who was a white male named Michael Hayek. And so the appointing authority had five names when they made their decision. They proceeded with the process, and I found it interesting when counsel was discussing this with your honors that he didn't mention that Ms. Blyce herself made it very clear in her own testimony that she was not asked any discriminatory, sexist, or unfair questions in the final interview with the mayor and Mayor Antoranian and Mr. Arnold. There just isn't any evidence in this case. I don't know what else to say. The record is just clear of any type of intentional discrimination of any type. We have our feelings in the city of Kenosha regarding expanded certification. It is not a guarantee of a job. It is not an appointment process. It merely widens the pool of women and minorities to get a chance to participate in final interviews. That's all it does. Sometimes, for example, Paula Blyce finished first on the intermediate oral interview panel. That's the outside people. She scored first. Second and third and fourth were Stokowski and Davis, et cetera, as the list went down. She knew, and she testified, that was not a guarantee that she was going to get the job, that she knew it was only putting her in the finalist pool. So regardless of what her ranking was at an intermediate stage, when it came down to the final stage, she just simply wasn't selected. That's basically all I have to say, unless there are any other questions.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Nunnery, do you have any time?
Yeah.
You have 2.5 minutes, Mr. Nunnery.
Just recently in the NFL, a decision was being made to hire a new coach for the Miami Dolphins. Nick Saban was the selected. A policy was in place. Look, before you hire Mr. Saban, you must interview minority candidates or you will get a $500,000 fine. No one ever suggested that Saban would not get the job. He got the job. What is happening in this case? You have here specifically Schrader Exhibit 1, 21. Aura 23. You have the mayor and Mr. Arnold sitting in their office putting numbers down as to who gets what from the interview. No preset, nothing. This court, no jury or anyone can ever come and examine the objectivity of this process. Ms. Blyce finished fourth. Counsel said Stokowski would have been ahead of Ms. Blyce. He opted out. 79 versus 81 points was the differential. In the record, Chuck Sagrowski says categorically he was not asked the same questions as the appellant. That alone suggests in that process she was not treated the same as Sagrowski. Is it not enough when there is a scintilla of credibility issues that must go to the jury? One could hide behind expanded certification and do whatever they want, and it looks good. But no review in court based upon what Judge Clavert and the appellees are saying can ever review it. And without any objectivity in place, we believe that this case should have gone to the jury. Thank you.
Okay, thanks to both counsel.